For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This is Believe, Georgia Dodge Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open! Touchdown! Israel Truth!
Snap to Young, drops back, pressure from the edges, he throws near sideline, and it's intercepted! Intercepted, Kelee Ringo at the 21, off he goes, 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, near sideline, breaks a tackle, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, 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 Georgia!
Good evening, neighborhood. How about them dogs?
32-18. Let the celebration begin.
All righty. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. That we're on a new platform here, StreamYard. That was our intro. Welcome back to our intro. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. Joining me is fresh off the baseball diamond, coaching middle school baseball down there in Waycross, Georgia. It's Israel Troop. Going with the full name tonight, I see.
Yeah, man. You know, they lured me out of retirement. I hadn't coached baseball in about 4 or 5 years now. So, love my little 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, man. Got a big win today against Lowndes Middle School. So it's good to be back on the diamond, but, miss being here on this platform and our wonderful tech guy, Corey, because, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. I know nothing about the ins and outs of the production that goes on here. Okay. So everything that you see, the video and everything like that, the background goes to Corey. So I'm glad we got everything fixed, man. We're live and in effect.
Absolutely, man. And I couldn't execute this show without my handy dandy broadcast partner here, Israel Troop, man, bringing all the knowledge, bringing all the Twitter fun and bringing all the social media joy and the perspective of the former player. So I couldn't do it without you, man. And can't wait to get on this. Can't wait to kick off 2023 and spend another year here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. And, to the moon we head, right?
Absolutely, man. We're trying to make the big bucks. So those of you who are listening to us, please subscribe. We're trying to get that fancy office like our boy Jay and all those boys now, man. So,
Heck yeah, man. So we are presented by betonline.ag. Basketball season is in full swing. NBA is playing. The Hawks are playing right now. College basketball is live in conference play. We'll get to that here in a little bit. The NFL playoffs. What a weekend last weekend. Too bad we ended the weekend on Monday night with a stinker, but great weekend of football. Who would have thought the Giants would have beat the Vikings? Who would have thought the Jaguars would have come back from 27 down? I know Matt Ryan's probably feeling a little bit better about that. He's finally got somebody to join in his misery. And if you won a lot of money on BetOnline or whatever betting platform you use, but please use BetOnline. It's a great platform. Very easy to use. They have all the latest lines, odds, player props, news, things like that. So lots of different things to bet on. We have a promo code, Believe. If you punch in that promo code, you get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's a pretty big deal. So bet on the NFL games this weekend. Bet on some NBA games. If you bet on some NBA games, tell me how to do it. Use that promo code, get that 50% welcome bonus, and enjoy your weekend. So BetOnline is where the game starts. So Troop, before we get rolling, before we talk about the game that was, that led to the back-to-back, we need to take a moment and recognize we need to recognize the two that the two damn good dogs that we lost after the celebration. Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix passed away in a car accident late Sunday night. I forget what day. My days are so blurred right now. It's not even funny. But yeah, lost them Sunday night in a car accident. The two unnamed people in the car that were injured. We hope for a speedy recovery there. But man, it's just so sad, you know, to lose them. Some reports came out today about some of the details of the crash. Pretty gruesome. When you read it, pretty graphic. When you read it, it's almost like a scene out of a horror film.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a terrible deal to deal with, you know, especially after such a momentous occasion, such a great day, you know, to be a dog. You know, you go out and celebrate, you know, winning your second national championship, your back to back national champions, and you know, to get this news later on tonight is something that you know no one wants to hear. You know, prayers out to their families. I mean, that's something, you know, that's not a phone call you want to get. You know, from my understanding, you know, they were going to go meet some teammates to eat, you know, and, you know, it's just one of those things where we really don't have an answer to it. You know, all you can do is you know, pray for their families, pray for the dog family too, because they were a big, huge part of everything, our day-to-day, you know, things that we do every day. You know, for the football team. So, you know, it was a tough deal. You know, I'm not up there. I'm not a part of that team right now, but it's still a brotherhood to us. As far as being alum and, you know, our hearts go with the families and Dog Nation, you know, as we, you know, move forward and, you know, things are going to come out and people are going to talk. That's just what social media does. But also remember that was somebody's child. That was somebody's sister. You know, so, you know, please be respectful, you know, during this time and, you know, hopefully everything, you know, everything gets better, you know, after a while, but, you know, it's hard to wake up the news like that after such a big celebration, earlier in the day.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's a tough scenario. Nobody wants to go through that, man. And two really great people, you know, Devin was an integral part of the offensive line. He was an integral part of the UGA family. Chandler, she was a really huge part of the recruiting effort on such a phenomenal recruiting team. So two giant losses. You know, we do this show with a broken heart in that regard. And we're going to, you know, dedicate our show to them and dedicate this season of Believe in Georgia Dogs to them. So our prayers go out with the Willock family, the LaCroix family, and also the two individuals that are recovering in the hospital. And not sure what happened to, I don't know if it was a one car wreck. I'm still gathering information. I'm not sure if it was a one car wreck or not, but if there was anybody else involved that was injured or affected, prayers out to them as well. So just hope this situation, you know, those that were not involved maybe can, you know, see some of the details of this situation and learn from it. You know, if there's anything that can be avoided, anything that can be learned from it, we hope that takes place. Unfortunately, at the expense of these two, but such great members of the UGA family. We like I said, our thoughts are with them and their families, and through this tough time. So, I mean, it's never easy. It's never easy to talk about. It's never easy, you know. It's never easy to hear, but. You know, something that, you know, something that's important to us and something that we needed to address as members of Dog Nation, and especially you, both of us. I mean, you know, we're like the alumni version of what those two were. I was the recruiting assistant and you're the player. So it's crazy. Like, I don't know. I mean, that was, you know, terrible.
Yeah, that was a tough deal, you know, and, you know, you with everything that's going on, you know, I was ready to talk about, you know, the Stetson Bennett beef that everybody's got with him.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get right into that. Yeah, so you know, yeah.
Good. You know, you gotta pray for those people and that family and you know, hopefully everybody heals from this and everybody learns from it, like you said earlier. So, you know, and switching gears here before I start, you know, I hadn't cried in a long time. I'm starting to peel these onions in here, but let's talk about Stetson.
Yeah, my goodness, like. At one second he's a hero, and the next second he's a heel. He's living the WWE life, honestly. Going at Steak Shapiro. Apparently he was just playing tunes on his phone. Like, he wasn't just scrolling and ignoring people. He was playing music. Much to do about nothing. I mean, he's just been dumped on his entire career at UGA. And most of the people that have been dumping on him for his entire career, they have a special name. They're called haters.
Yes.
They're called haters. I was skeptical that he could really be the guy long term, but then he quickly changed that narrative for me. And he did something called Prove It. And he did. Mm-hmm. He proved it. He had a 4,000-yard season this season. Led us to back-to-back national championships, made sure that this year's national championship was stress-free, to say the least, was an integral part of holding a lot of this team together, a receiving core that had been decimated with injuries. A.D. Mitchell caught 9 passes all year long because that's all he was healthy enough to catch, caught 2 really big ones in the playoff, but it just being able to function with so many injuries around him, it's ridiculous. Now, maybe some of this has gone to his head with some of his antics and some of the things that he does. He's always been kind of on the borderline of confident and cocky, and sometimes he crosses that line occasionally, which does happen. Not mad at him about it, but a lot of people are. Doesn't bother me. You know, you got to be. You gotta have that to play quarterback in the SEC and to play at a high level that he played at. So, I mean, I have no problem with it, but that's just kind of that is what it is.
I've been a Stetson lover since second game, I think, of what was it, 2020, 2022, whenever he started. All right. So I've always been a Stetson believer. Me and you would go at it back and forth about who's supposed to start sometimes.
You know, yeah, like I was like, you know, JT was still, you know, at that time, JT had proven that he could play football at a high level, mm-hmm. and he put some things on tape. And when they were going back and forth in 2020, JT finished 2020 as the starter, played quite well, actually, started out, you know, struggled a little bit against Clemson, gets hurt, and then Stetson comes in. I'm like, oh, you know, what are we doing? You know, we already benched him once. You know, let's see what Carson Beck had. And then Stetson goes out and breaks records. And he hooked me in that UAB game. He hooked me for mm-hmm. good. I always thought he was good, but was he good enough to really compete at a high level in the SEC? It was remain to be seen. But he hooked me in that UAB game where he just – I mean, he was dropping dimes, man. And then mm-hmm. he gained a whole nother level of swagger that was able to help him push through – and win that first national championship, and then on into the second.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And let me tell you something, as a Stetson believer, if you were offended by what he did during the parade, or you were upset about what he did during the parade, that means you were a hater to begin with, and now you want to feel validated and be like, oh, Stetson, mm-hmm. I believe in you now. If you're a true believer in Stetson, then nothing he did at that parade would have made you mad, would have upset you or anything like that. If you watch the whole entire parade, he was engaging with it. He waved and everything. You only saw little snippets, and that's what social media does. Social media only gives you a snippet. They don't show you the whole thing.
Oh, he was on his phone the whole time.
Dog Nation, Stetson Bennett owes us absolutely nothing. He gave us 2 national championships. He played lights out. I mean, the kid can do no more. And for you to be upset because he didn't thank the fans. First of all, the celebration is not for you. it's for the team, and he doesn't owe us anything. He owes it to his teammates, which he congratulated, which he interacted with the whole entire time. That's who he owes everything to. Those guys, those in that locker room that believed in him before anybody else in the picture believed in, before his own coaches even believed in him, he owes us nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, you want to bring the kids into it. He waved at the kids. What do you want them to do? You want to get out and give him a popsicle? Is that what you want them to do?
You know, got a popsicle in my pocket.
You know, so I don't understand. I know when people were talking about it, I tried to go back and watch the whole thing. So I went back and watched the entire parade, you know, from outsider looking in. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with what he was doing. If you look at all the clips, at some point he's waving. Then he'll go down. And you can see him talking to, I don't know who was up there with him, but he's talking to him. And he's got two phones.
Van Pran. I think he's talking to Sid. He had his phone, and then he had the one that was hooked up to the aux in the vehicle.
And then he get back up and start waving and stuff. So when you win a championship, you do a parade. The parade's not for the fans. It's for the players. It's for the fans to congratulate those guys, celebrate those guys. That's what that means. And for fans and stuff to make about themselves because he didn't wave like maybe once or twice is BS. And kudos to him for cooking that guy yesterday. Never heard of him. I don't know who he is.
I know who he is. I interned on a radio. I interned on his radio show, like fresh out of college. I know. He served him.
Journalism school to help him with that because I mean,
Mr. Medium Rare. That's what he called him. Mr. Medium Rare. Yeah.
Impressive. You know, so what else can he do, man? What else can he do?
He dropped. I was playing some bangers on stage.
Yes.
Like straight bodies on that one. Dude, that was impressive. No, I worked on. I was an intern for a show called Mayhem in the AM on 790 The Zone in Atlanta, and one of the hosts was Steak Shapiro, the guy who he roasted. So yeah, there you go. So.
And then if you look at it, I mean, all the fans, all of our normal people who follow us on Twitter, the normal Georgia people are not upset. So it's those, you're always going to have those people who are, they want to be mad about something. Like I said, social media gives you that outlet to where you can be upset and also be wrong at the same time. So Stetson from Israel Truth, an alum of that locker room as a brother, you don't owe us nothing, big dog. You gave us everything and more that we could have asked for. I mean, for you, you will now go in history. You are now the fourth team in history to win back-to-back national championships.
Mm-hmm.
That you're the quarterback of. No, you don't. First, you owe
the,
nobody
first nothing. In the playoff era.
You owe us nothing. You know, you played your part. You did everything that you're supposed to do as a great being a great teammate. You know. Whether you had your turn moments, hell, we've all had our turn moments. So, I mean, that's nothing to me, you know. So, I mean, enjoy it. I mean, you deserve it.
College kid.
The team deserves it. So,
it's called being a college kid.
The people talking the most probably did way worse things than we've ever done in college ourselves.
Yeah.
Because most of the people complaining grew up in the 70s and the 80s. We all know what's going on in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
And none of you could do what Stetson did. Most of you would have folded. Most of you would have played football when the coach told you you're not good enough. So that's what it is. You knew that you were wrong. And you, like I told Joe, so you have to admit that you were wrong and accept it. You don't want to accept it. And poor Joe, man, he got roasted too. I mean,
he kept compounding his mistakes. First he said TCU was going to win. That didn't go well. Then he said Stetson Bennett was not that great of a quarterback and he just benefited from having a good roster. Well, show me a national championship team that didn't have a good roster.
Jalen Hurts, Bryce Young, Tua, Burrows,
I mean,
the first one was from Ohio State. Cordell.
Yeah.
Cardale first Jones. Quarterback at the. I say Cardale Jones.
Yeah, you know, he had Zeke and Michael Thomas.
You're as good as the supporting cast around you. That's what makes you a great quarterback. A good
football's
quarterback.
Football's a team sport. I don't know if people understand that.
I mean, I'm sorry he's not 6'5", what people wanted at the quarterback position, but he won two back-to-back national championships.
Yeah. Did you see how he was dealing? Man, did you see some of the throws he made? Some of the anticipation throws that he made?
I'm pretty sure he was watching film like during the Ohio State game too. Like he was watching film like after halftime of TCU because he was like, I'm finna win this. We're gonna play TCU and dot them up.
Yeah.
And we're gonna win this thing. That's what it looked like. Because they came out. I don't know who pissed them off before that game, but they went hunting for real. When Kirby said we're going hunting. No, first of all, he said we're gonna have fun. He've never heard Kirby say we're gonna have fun. You know, at the beginning of the whole telecast. He's like, we're gonna go ahead and have fun.
And we're gonna play.
First of all, that was me.
I was like, oh boy.
And then he said, we're gonna hunt. And he just looked at the camera. He was like, we're gonna go hunt. And just walked off. I was like, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Oh boy. Yeah. So that game, man. You know, three and out. No, it was three and out. Then we go down and score.
Mm-hmm.
No, we go down and kick a field goal, punt it back to them, three and out. We go down and score 10-0. Kick it back to them. They go down and score 10-7. I'm like, okay, like TCU has a little bit of fight.
I agree. That's it. We got a ball game. We go right back down and score.
Yeah. I mean, just with ease. We get a pick and we score again. And then we score again. I think Stetson just scored again on TCU.
Yeah.
Then we score and score and score. The fact that we were chucking the ball up 45-7 was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That was
like, damn. I was like, Kirby is pissed.
To be like, you know what? People have been talking crap about us since that Ohio State game. Because, you know, everybody says, well, Ohio State should have beat y'all. He said, all right, well, let's just show everybody that we deserve to be here. You know, I think that was the point. Let's show everybody that we deserve to be here. We should be here. And let's show these you-know-whats that we're the number one team in the nation and we're the dogs and we're going hunting. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, we accomplished that. I mean, Branson Robinson broke, I think, 11 tackles on two carries. Seven of them on one play.
Todd Monken was up there, I mean, I don't know what he had going on. He must have just been fresh out of Hogwarts. I mean, he had all the magic, you know, just going in his favor. I mean, he's dealing routes and, I mean, taking care of one high safety. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the man was in his bag.
Yeah, he had their defensive coordinator was just like bewildered. He was just like, oh God, like looking at a sheet and like, oh God, like go. It's like that scene in Friday Night Lights where Ivory's like, they're fast, they're strong, they're mean, they're dirty, and they're fast. You already said that.
How's it going,
Ivory? Yeah. Yep. They learned. They learned that the SEC, despite playing Elon week 11, can still whip your you know what.
Yeah, you know, and I think you tweeted to me or believe tweeted to me when I said that Sonny Dyke said the SEC, you know, wasn't very good. I think he found out. You know that chart, you know. It goes, if you keep effing around, like, you're going to find out. Like, that's what happened. Like, here's the chart. Here's TCU. They kept messing around, and then Georgia came, and they found out. Like, it met at a perfect angle.
It met at the highest point. It met at the highest point. They messed around. They found out. Yeah. Yeah, that was
– And it was wonderful to watch. I mean, most people were like, oh, this is boring. No, it was great. It was wonderful to watch. It was a wonderful thing to watch. First of all, from a defensive standpoint, because I've catched myself as an offensive guy watching a lot of defensive film. And other than one bust, which resulted in a touchdown. I think our defense, I don't even think they crossed the 50, but maybe twice the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they were all out of sorts. They couldn't handle our physicality up front on both sides of the ball. Their receivers couldn't get any separation because we were being physical at the point of contact at the line of scrimmage. Safeties were disrupting pass lanes, and Max Duggan just couldn't get comfortable back there. He would either get hit or he'd get flushed.
Absolutely. And
there was nothing. There was blitzed. No answer.
I think we blitzed maybe five times the whole entire game. I mean, our front guys were just getting there. I mean, those guys made some money. I mean, Bear Alexander had, what, three sacks? If I'm not mistaken. Stackhouse went off. I mean, Jalen. I mean, it was just a whole – there's a whole lot of pent-up energy. They've been pissed off for a while. Mm-hmm. I hate to see what that practice – I wonder what that practice was like that week. They came out mad.
Yeah, I think the first practice off of the Peach Bowl, it was like full contact. Good on good. Like almost like a spring practice.
I love it.
Yeah, hell yeah. And they asked Kirby. Yeah, whole lot of hitting, dude. They asked Kirby, is like, well, what makes your team so physically tough and – physically in good condition? He goes, well, we hit all season. We hit a lot.
Well,
there's something to that.
If you run into each other, you know, it's not full taking to the ground. It's not all about the defense and stuff like that. But if you're physically running into somebody every single day with proper technique, you know, proper leverage and things like that, it's bound to show. When you can actually take somebody to the ground, it makes it easy. You know, and that's what you've been waiting to do. You've been thudding all week. That's what made us so good this year, you know, at Ware County. You know, we thud, you know, form tackle, things like that. On Friday, let them dogs out, man. Let them loose. And guess what happens? Heads get to knocking. You know what I mean?
Because they're hungry.
I mean, the only difference now, they get taken to the ground. That's the only difference. Yeah. So they're flying to the ball, and now I get to actually tackle them. Mm-hmm. But you've been flying to the ball at practice. You've been physical at practice. You've been running at each other at practice. Yeah. Now you just put it all together.
Yeah. Then you just finish with the hands and scoop them and drop them.
There you go.
Or if it's quarterback, you got to like pick him up, cuddle him a little bit, put a pillow down, and then just lay him down gently. Is that how y'all teach it? I know there's some new pass roughing the passer rules going on. So
you touch the quarterback at our school, you might as well go ahead and turn around and turn in all your stuff, because you're about to be on coach's highlight tape.
Yeah, I laid into somebody at practice last season. I mean, I went full Kirby on him, man, because we're doing team, and you know, he's scout team All American. He played the play, and he got to our quarterback, and our quarterback was throwing, and he hit him like right here, and he couldn't like finish his motion, and our quarterback was already like, he was already kind of fragile at that point because it was late in the season, and like he'd been hit a few times. I mean, he was getting over some illness. Like, he wasn't well. And we had nothing. Like, his backup was concussed. So we'd have had to go with a JV guy who has two left feet and moves. And you could probably roll out of that beanbag chair you're sitting in faster than he could sprint. Like at the ripe old age at 35, you could roll out of that thing faster than he can run.
Hey, I'm 34. Don't give me that extra year just yet.
Hey, I'm 39. I'll be 39 for the rest of my life. Yeah, I feel you. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were in that situation. So like, I had to let him know. I said, he's going to be a really good defensive lineman for us.
After that, but you and he just got, I bet he is.
Yeah. And, you know, he understood. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, physical practices, I think are the key. I mean, there's not much more to this game that we can talk about because, I mean, it was such utter domination. It's like, okay, well, we dominated here. We ran crisp routes. Stetson Bennett threw, you know, really good passes with anticipation. He threw guys open. He put throws on in spots that a lot of pro backup guys can't do.
Came back too.
Yeah, so, it was the Brock Bowers show. I mean, anything that could have gone right went right. Anything that could have gone wrong did not happen. Like everything that went wrong against Ohio State did not happen against TCU. Everything that could have went right against Ohio State and everything that did go right against Ohio State went right again for Georgia against TCU. And TCU just got buried under an avalanche of momentum. And I think we showed the world, okay, this is what Ohio State had a brief chance to do to us, but they didn't. But we showed them, hey, this is like you want to avalanche somebody, this is how you do it right here.
Yes, and that's exactly you hit it out of the park with that one. Because that's like had Harrison scored that touchdown that we knocked out, that bullet knocked out, I think we lose that ball game. Holding them to the field goal is really what us win that ball.
Keeps it a two score game, and now Stetson's confident.
Because we were matching points. They were always ahead of us. So we'd score, then they'd score. So then we're back down by two scores. You know, so it's one of those things to where, you know, team, you know, as Kirby's things would say, you know, you gotta keep them down. You know, you don't give them an inch. You know, and I don't know who leaks them. I think Kirby leaks them. Pregame speeches. Because if it were me and I played, if I heard that before a football game, I would want to run through somebody too. I'm not going to lie.
And if you're upset about that, like there's people that are like, oh, Kirby shouldn't have done that, man. He, you know, he can't talk to kids like that. You know, that's just so terrible. He can't do that.
Have you been like, hey, guys, let's go out here. Let's play some really physical football. And we're going to go out here. We're gonna knock them down, you know. We're gonna get after their tail. What do I want to hear?
That's what people thought Coach Rick was, though.
No, absolutely not. You've been in there before. He don't talk like that.
No. Definitely not. I heard him like walking through the halls, like, yeah, we're gonna whip their ass. But yeah, I mean, it's like, and I'd never really heard him cuss off of the practice field, on the practice field. Oh my God. But yeah, Coach Rick, like that was the biggest myth about Coach Rick. It was that he was like soft-spoken and all right, guys, now this is a good opportunity. We're going to go out there. We're going to whip their tails. We're going to score some points and we're going to get out of here with a win and be gracious. No, Nope.
Didn't happen. See, Coach Rick could cuss you out without cussing you out. He didn't have to use a cuss word.
Yeah.
But when he did, it come out by accident. But when he did, you knew it. You knew what was fixing to happen. You know, so, you know, to hear it, you know, the way that Kirby does it, you know, that's kind of how we coach. I mean, that's what we grew up on. You know, that's how my coach coached me. And I'm pretty sure that's how your coach coached you. You know, so to us, it doesn't bother me. You know, most of these kids cuss more than we do. So, I mean, I don't understand what the problem is.
They don't cuss creatively like we do.
This, that, and the third. I'm like, have y'all heard y'all's kid in third block? Have you heard things they say?
If you walk out in the hallways.
Your son cusses like he cusses like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction, man. Okay? So, I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to town on the F-bombs, man. He acts like he's never used an F-bomb before. My coach was my dad, by the way. My dad was like Coach Rick a lot. He had a calm demeanor until he didn't have a calm demeanor. Mm-hmm. He was very like, and then it'd boil to the surface and then boom, he'd explode and then he'd be back down, you know,
and then you'd be like
back down level headed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He'd slap his play sheet on his leg, a lot. But he had some quips. Now we kept jumping off sides one time in practice, and he goes, "Damn, we have the damn highest SAT scores in the state of Georgia. We can't remember damn snap count. What the hell? Get him chopping or something like, you know, we did up downs and, you know." He'd say stuff like that.
You know, and just
hear. He was creative with it.
Absolutely. You know, you hear Kirby practice and, you know, the way that I coach my guys and stuff too, you know, because we do live in cancel culture, you know, I try not to scream it, but, you know, back in the day, and I used to get with it, and I still do now, you know, but I just bring them a little bit closer to me so I don't have to yell it, you know. So, I mean, to hear a coach like that in that locker room at that particular moment, and apparently it wasn't even the TCU game that video was from, you know, so I can only imagine who
Tennessee game, I think, right?
Beat the hell out of, you know, for that one.
Probably, you know, Tennessee. Apparently, I think it might have been the Tennessee game.
Yeah, but apparently, we hadn't heard the best one. According to Kirby, that wasn't even the best one.
No. One of the best ones was a Florida game, I think. But like,
oh yeah. That one's priceless. That one will go down in history. That was a good one.
But has he ever degraded a player? No.
No, he talks about his team. And that's the thing. If you talk about your team and what you need to do, your motivation, I mean, I don't understand why people are upset. I love it.
Yeah.
And that goes to show who has never been in the locker room.
It's standard practice. I mean,
those people believe in participation trophies.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what they believe in.
Like, he didn't degrade anybody. He didn't, like, he was just fired up. So what? He used a few cuss words. I mean, come on. It's football. We've all used cuss words. It's just soft. That's all it is. Soft.
Soft, coach, man.
Soft as Sherman.
If you want to win, you know, you got to do what you do. You can't worry about the outside and, you know, and I can only imagine things that Nick Saban said in his lifetime. So,
oh boy,
it could be, and that's the thing though. Like when I hear Nick Saban, you see Nick Saban like going in on somebody. Like you never hear their fans like on social media upset, but our fans are like, "Oh God, what's going on?"
Fans are so daggum sensitive
when you win because, and you're building a championship culture.
Yeah, because our fans think.
What they have to do, what is the assignment? This is why we're here. You have to get them back on track. What's the best way to get them back on track? Just to let them know. You know sometimes what I mean? So
sometimes you got to be emphatic. I mean, it's a violent sport. So, like, can't go in there all soft and candy ass about it, you know? But people, like, this stuff never came out on Coach Rick. So people's expectations are that, you know, hey, you know, coaches don't do this, you know, they're CEOs and they got to be composed and all that stuff. And it's just immaturity and him trying to, no, it's not. It's him trying to rally his guys to go out there and play a violent sport to the best of their ability and be on the dominant end. Show like
that worked out for Clemson this year.
It didn't. It didn't. They were, at least they got God's NIL though. Right. At least they got that going for them.
He said that, and I was like, man, get out of here.
Yeah, what is going on, dude? I was like, no, Dabo. And then you go out and lay an egg against Tennessee.
Tennessee was mad, too.
Tennessee
was they were
They're like, okay.
Their defense that was the best I've seen their defense play all year.
Play with a chip on the shoulder. Joe Milton was dropping dimes. Yes, they were like, okay, you want to leave us out of the playoff? Okay, here's your ACC champ. We're going to beat them down. No problem. This is the team you thought should be in the playoff?
SEC teams and Ohio State. and the whole playoff would have been
a lot more interesting. Yeah. Definitely a lot more interesting. Ohio State, let Tennessee and Alabama duke it out again. That'd be fun. Yep.
Or I would have done it to where it'd been Ohio State versus Ohio State 2. So it'd been us, Ohio State, Alabama. Well, Tennessee and then Alabama.
Tennessee and Alabama because
right.
Yeah, so Alabama gets us. Alabama. And,
yep. Yeah. And then Tennessee gets Ohio State.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Now that would have been a show.
That would have definitely been a show. In a 12-team playoff, that probably would have happened. Probably how it would have shaken out.
So is that in 24 or is that next year? That the 12-team deal goes
in? It's in 24. I think we got one more year of the four. And I think it goes to 12.
Yeah.
The next year.
And the thing is, you know, all the Alabama fans are like, well, you can't get in with two losses because it ain't going to happen.
No.
You can lose one. You can't lose two. You lose two, you're out. Like, there's no
doubt. You're done. There was only one year, an anomaly year, where everyone had to. If everyone had two losses, okay, I might give you a pass.
Yeah.
Like, the one year LSU won it with two losses, everyone had two losses.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
That's one of those things you can't do anything about that. But once you get two losses right here, because – and you got conference champions inside of it. You're not getting them.
Yeah. Wait till the 12-team playoff there, bub. So, transfer portal. A.D. Mitchell. Why? I mean, I'm hearing Texas, obviously. That's the rumors. It's not official that he's going to Texas. But he is in the portal.
What's his name? Just declared.
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison. That's it. I want to say Adler for some reason, but yeah, Jordan Addison declared. So I'm hearing USC, and obviously they got the money to do it. You know, so also they need to give Reggie Bush his trophy back. By the way,
they do.
I don't think we forgot because we didn't.
No, we didn't forget. No, not at all. They should definitely give his trophy back for sure.
I hate it. I hate it. I was really excited, you know, with him and Ra Ra and McConkey coming back, you know, with Rosemary Jack Saint.
Love it. Our boy Dom is hitting the portal, but you know, he needs a reset, man, because he's been so injured. I mean, he's had some huge moments for Georgia.
He's a graduate transfer, you know, so he's graduated.
So he got his degree. I don't hate that.
He's been a dang good dog for us, you know, and with what we got coming back and, you know, the two we had coming in, you know, he was going to be on the outside looking in. So, and I respect that decision, and he's handled it the right way. And, you know, I wish him all the best. And I wish AD Mitchell the best. I hope he decides to come back, you know, because he can always decide to get out, you know. So, I don't know what prompted this, you know, because there's no doubt in my mind that he would be, you know, an intricate part of this receiving corps next year.
There's some Buster Faulkner's gone. Todd Monken is rumored to be going back to the NFL. Like, there's some dominoes that could be falling.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't necessarily want to learn. Like, if he's going to learn a new offense, he may as well go
learn it somewhere else.
Learn somewhere else where he can get a bigger NIL deal, bigger market.
This is the Georgia Dodge Podcast.
Ooh. All right. There we go. Random.
This NIL stuff is getting out of hand as far as tampering with players. That's the part that makes me mad. You know, paying a player to play is totally fine with me. You know, I wish that they did it for us. You know, I have no problem with that. But when you start to tamper,
there's got to be regulation. There's got even the NFL free agency, like that everybody's afraid that college football's become, has regular. I get so excited, I'm like smacking the keyboard. That's why we played the intro. But they need guardrails on this thing. They need regulation because it works for the NFL. The NFL has a calendar. And it works. College football has none of that because they have nobody at the top. Everybody's just a free for all.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Because NIL is not the problem. The dysregulation of NIL is the problem.
Because if you think about it, who tends to make the most money still out of this whole entire ordeal? The NCAA still makes the most money. Because what happens? All these great players go to these certain universities, which means more money for that university, which means the NCAA is going to get a cut of that money. Mm-hmm. So do you think they care? They don't. Why should they? But if I'm if I have morals, then I have to figure out a way to at least stop the tampering aspect of it. You can't tamper with it.
Yeah, and there's got to. I mean, like I said, there's got to be things in place. What we got to start with tampering. Yes, that's the first thing. Like,
who offers a 17, 18-year-old kid $13 million? To the point to where he now wants to get out of his NIL, out of his, letter of intent because he's not getting that money. Who does that? Where does that even come from?
Yeah, like there should be a window for that. And that should coincide with the transfer portal window.
There's no way I'm offering a kid this much money. He ain't even stepped on campus yet.
No, it's stupid.
Kid at Michigan's transferred four times now. Four.
Yeah,
this is going to be all the time transfer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on now. It's starting to become like Miami City football where the guy plays for four different teams for 4 years. And by the way, so it's reached the high school level. Yeah.
I was about to say, we can regulate that high school level, especially here in Georgia, right? You can't just – you have to make a bona fide move. Like, your full family has to get up and move. Like, if you wanted to – I want to transfer to Ware County. Ware Corey, you and your whole entire family has got to get up, physically move to Ware County, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's laws and, a process in high school ranks, especially here in Georgia, why can't it be that way in NCAA?
Yeah, why? Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't. I mean, there should be stiff penalties if you are caught having contact with a student athlete and they're not in the portal. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be the new recruiting. That should be the new big violation. Like, you're going to get smacked hard in the face, punched to the teeth. If you're caught tampering, because you can't stop it. When it becomes rampant, but if there's some really, really harsh penalties for it, I guarantee you these coaches, they know what's happening. They're probably the ones leading it. They're saying, Hey, Booster, go and hit this kid up. I can't really hit him up, but you can talk to him freely, hit him up. And so if they knew that there were some connections there and they could put some really strict penalties in, would they do it? Yeah, some would probably still do it and take the risk, but like most laws in our country, it deters the majority of people. There's a whole lot of people in this country that don't want jail time, so they're not going to do anything wrong. I mean, there's some people there's always going to be violators. I mean, that's just kind of how it works, but it'll curb it enough to where it's not a huge problem like it is now.
Yeah. If you start taking away from coaches' salaries, that's where you start. That's anything that people do, you start taking people money. If you start taking away some of these coaches' salaries, all right, if you get caught, we're taking 15%, all right, of each coach on your staff. So that goes all the way down to the analysts, to the GAs, whatever you're getting paid, taking 15% of what you already make for tampering, right? That'll make all these coaches a little bit more hands-on what's going on within the program. That's how you get it. Start messing with people's money. And then you start telling the AD, all right, AD, I'm going to take 20% of what you got because you're the head. You should know what's going on anyway
in your
program.
And – if you get a second tampering violation, now it's half.
Mm-hmm. Automatic, off the rip.
Yeah, it's half. And third strike, you're out. Yep. See ya. Bye. Whole staff wiped out. The entire operation, wipe clean.
You know, you gotta sit out a season. All right. So now you sit out a season.
The assistants have to sit out a season. The head coach, he's on a blacklist. Like, he can't be a head coach ever again.
Yeah.
Like, be that strict. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. It will. I mean, you'll have 5% of coaches that get the lifetime ban, but it won't happen.
Somebody's gonna try.
Somebody's gonna try it. But I guarantee you,
all right, they ain't for real.
Yeah.
You mess with people's money.
Get somebody like
Goodell. You start taking.
Yeah. Get somebody like Goodell. Get a college football commissioner, have him rule with an iron fist like Goodell does. Like, Goodell gets a lot of heat, but he runs that freaking league like he runs a tight ship over there at the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is tight. I mean, some of the things you could probably look at and go, man, that's kind of ridiculous, but he runs a tight ship.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of people try him.
No.
They don't try the shield now.
Starting to become a show now. You know, it's this transfer portal. And like I said, I'm all for transfer portal. I will never say that I'm against transfer portal. You know, because I think these kids do need
it. It's not the transfer portal itself. It's not NIL itself. It's the fact that you're letting this happen without any regulation. I mean, it's like leaving a pallet of cash out there and hoping everybody only takes $1 bill. That ain't going to happen. Like, there's no regulation.
They're going to try to regulate the portal to where you can get grad transfer and stuff like that to get, you know, next season stuff. But that doesn't go into effect yet, you know. Yeah. So people in the portal are upset, you know, unless their coach left, something like that, you know, which is kind of understandable. But you're mad because you were so-called promised this and it didn't happen. You know, like, that's why you're in the portal. You know, you're not being mistreated. You know, you're a turd, to say the least, and you think coaches are against you. No, you're a turd. That's what you are.
Yeah,
I was a turd, so I know. I know exactly. I know exactly how to do it.
You're an expert?
I'm an expert in turdology, okay, because that was me.
Turdonomics. Right?
And, yeah, and at no point in my lifetime did I think I want to transfer. Never even crossed my mind.
Yeah. You could have, and I just probably nobody would have blamed you. You know, depending on where you were, probably.
Wasn't hurt. So, you know, half of it was my fault.
Yeah. I mean, if you can own up to the fact that, hey, I'm in this situation because of things that I did, I need to change those things. Then that's where true growth is. I mean,
if I should have went back a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes, unfortunately, people have to learn things more difficult than others. Some people just see these things and go, okay, I'm not going to be a turd. Some people are like, okay, I'm going to push some boundaries here. And some people are like, F your boundaries.
I was kind of in between. I'm going to push the boundaries and F the boundaries at the same time. I was a tweener right in between. I was going to see how far I could go.
Just depend on what your mood was. Sometimes, you know, if you're in the right mood, you were kind of F your boundaries. I remember you telling that story about Coach T and the punishment runs you had. I forgot what you did. Yeah.
I didn't go to class.
You were late to class, yeah.
I was a habitual class skipper.
Ah, what was your major?
Well, here's my deal. Consumer economics and real estate. Before
big
the market
brain
crash.
Stuff right there. Yeah, some big brain stuff right there.
But listen to my logic, though. This is my logic. Okay. Every time
here's your logic.
I didn't go. Okay, we would have a test. okay, like right. the class yeah. before, right?
Yeah.
So what was the point of going to class the next time? I only missed the very next time after a test.
Oh, well, I mean, there was a class at Georgia that I skipped every day because I didn't see a point of going to it because it was one of those 400 person classes. It was anthropology. And I would fall asleep. We probably were probably sitting next to, well, actually you weren't in college yet, but
took some of my best naps in that class.
Yeah. I'm like, why am I going to this class? I'm just going to go to the bookstore and get the little packet of notes and cram and make and my,
that was one of the classes that got me on Coach T's list because I was like, screw this. I'm not staying here.
Yeah. I get to a point where I didn't even go.
As I was getting on the bus to go back to the dorms, she just happened to be coming by too and saw me. I was like,
oh no,
shit, she got me.
Well, there, lace
next
up my
thing, you know, get the text message. You got 5:45 run in the morning. I know, already know.
Okay, Coach T, I'll see you. You're late. That's funny,
Coach. I'm already on number 10. You're late. Oh, that was a great day. I felt so good that day.
Yeah.
Coach T come walking up there. I'm like, Coach, I've been here. I'm on like number 10. And you can't make me start over because I was here and you were late.
You had him there. That's a good point. If I was Coach T, I'd have been like, I'd have been pissed, but I'd be like, damn it, you're right. Pissed,
you know, now
I'm so mad at you, but coach, you're right, yeah.
And as a coach now, you know, like I said, like that's what makes me, you know, question the portal so much now. As a coach now, I have so many, you know, of my own guys that are me, you know, so like they'll try to lie or do something. I'm like, because I've done that 10 times better than what you're doing it right now,
yeah.
And if it wasn't for another person, I wouldn't have got called. So mm-hmm. I see right through you, and you're gonna get called. And we're getting in trouble. So let's not do that.
You're not very smart.
You're lazy. No.
You're lazy with your turn on. You're making an F in turdonomics right now. Yes. You're not going to be a turdonomist.
I caught you before you even did it.
Yeah.
I have a formula at school that tell me everything. Like my kids would be like, Coach, how do you know? I mean, don't worry about how I know. Just know that I know.
Yeah. Social media is a big informant. Like, these kids live on social media.
You are your own worst enemy. That's why I tell them all the time. Coach, how do you know that? Because you did it. You posted it.
Yeah.
Rocket
science. We had two teammates that got in a fight, and they posted it on Instagram. Like, our starting safety beat up our freshman D lineman. I mean, it was just – he had him hockey style too, like the shirt over the head and was just wailing on him. He was standing, he had him pinned against the wall, and he was pulling his shirt up over his head, and he was just bam, 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 just wailing on him.
And they had some true beef going on there.
It was all over a phone charger.
Stop. A phone charger.
It was a phone charger. Because the kid that was getting wailed on, he went in the other kid's bag and took his charger out.
Oh, that's stealing. He deserved that one.
Oh, no, he did definitely deserved it. But at the end of the day, it's like, really? Like, you're going to get yourself suspended? He got 5 days of OSS for that.
Yeah. I was like, dude, that's... You going to law school, cuz.
Yeah, we don't. Apparently you get in more trouble for having you could have an empty vape cartridge and you're gone, like you're expelled. But if you beat the holy dog shit out of somebody,
you get 5 days.
You get a 2-day vacation.
Hmm.
We had a kid doing drugs on a bus. Got expelled. He's back now. Same school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I thought once you were expelled, I thought if the word expelled was used, you couldn't come back to that school ever.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
That's but definitely what that word means.
Expelled in our district means it's a 180-day vacation. Or you go to different school for 180 days and you can come back.
Then you come back.
You go to alt school for 180 days. That's what it is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So that's big city school district right there.
Hey, AD Mitchell. I don't know if you listen to us or not, but it'd be much appreciated, you know, if you just come on back.
Okay, yeah. You know, AD, come on now. Hey, AD.
It was funny.
You ain't fooling nobody. We're Nashville people, all right? I saw you at Cane Ridge. We scrimmaged against you. I know what you can do. Just come on back to Georgia one more year. All you need is you just need to put your 10 best plays on the NFL film. Dude, you're already there. You're going to get drafted. When you're eligible, when you enter the draft, you're going to get drafted high.
If it's a money deal, I promise you, the people who own the Coca-Cola plant down here in Georgia, right? Or what's another big money deal? Anyways, these big money
power. I don't know. Billy Payne, the chairman of the board of Augusta National, is a pretty big booster.
I'm pretty sure that we can. We can match whoever's throwing this dollar figure out here, because I mean, at the end of the day, we all know we're not naive to the fact of NIL. Okay, so you can say, "Well, this is how I feel about it." Wrong.
So, and you're going to be in good hands medically because we got Ron Corson.
There's no better trainer than Lance. And if it were me, and I kind of see how my boy Burton did. And this is not throwing shade on Jermaine Burton by any means. But if you go and see what he thought was going to happen and what actually happened, that grass ain't so green on the other side.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. He got spooked by a sorority girl too. I don't know if AD will get spooked. I don't know if AD will develop a phobia for sorority girls, but Jermaine did. At Alabama,
sometimes that grass ain't as green on the other side. It may look good, but it ain't real good. So, I mean, I get
Terrence.
It,
I'm just joking, man. Don't come after me. I'm just joking, Terrence. I know Terrence is a big Jermaine Burton guy, but
hey, I'm a big Jermaine guy. You know, you got to do what's best for you, but you know, sometimes
he just didn't. I don't know. There were some other things happen with him. I think he needed to go.
You know, sometimes those decisions, you know, don't pan out in the end. But, you know, it's, if you do decide to, you know, all the guys that have decided to get in the portal, you know, I wish all of you the best. You know, some people aren't going to do that. But, you know, from talking from a coaching and a player standpoint, I get it. It is what it is. And we're going to be back. We're about to three-peat this thing. You know, we got Carson Bagley. We got three quarterbacks coming. Branson Robinson. Dejon's coming back for one more. I think Milton's coming back, or McIntosh. Which one's coming back? Milton's coming back, Milton. Right?
Yeah. Milton's coming back. McIntosh is graduating, right?
Yep. And, you know, with our receiving core, you know, up front, you know, defensively, I mean, there's we could be the first team in history to three-peat.
That's right.
And if you look at anything – I know we'll get into it. I don't see anybody, at least in the East, other than Tennessee, that could, you know, go toe-to-toe with us.
I mean, I think Kentucky gets Liam Cohen back as their offensive coordinator. They get Devin Leary, who I think was the prized quarterback out of this year's crop of transfer quarterbacks. They will be solid. They'll be pesky, but we get them at home.
Get them at home. Now, if we're
get them at home, yeah. Get them at home. We get Graham Mertz at Florida, which If you watched Wisconsin football, that's not scary. Tennessee's going to be hell because we got to go to Neyland. That game is going. I don't love that one. Ole Miss will be. Ole Miss is a home game. Lane will have lost interest by then.
Yeah.
So that one will probably be easy because he will have lost interest. But
well, him and Pete went out the night before. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like both of them too. I like Pete and I like Lane, which makes that joke even funnier to me. But you know, by that time, like you said, their fate would have been sealed by then. So
yeah. Their goose is cooked. So, well, all right, man. Well, before we let you go, before we wrap this thing up, man, Mike White, basketball.
I know. It actually makes me want to watch.
Doing a few things, man. I know. I might actually have to turn it on.
Can I just say, even with our loss to Alabama and to the thing that we lost.
Dude, Alabama might win the Natty this year in basketball. Kentucky. Alabama is sick.
Kentucky
Alabama
the other
is
night.
Filthy. Ooh. Yeah, we lost at Kentucky.
Basketball that I've seen in a very long time. Even in losses, decent. We were right there. I think when I saw Dash tweet out, shout out to my boy Dasher. I think it was like 71-65 with like 3 minutes or so left. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, last year, I mean, we'd have been getting monkey stomped. So, you know, for us to be competing the way that we're doing, you know,
beat Auburn, beat Mississippi State, beat Ole Miss. Yeah.
Exactly, you know, where we are as a program. So our girls are doing pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball season is about to crank up, you know. So, oh, shout out to volleyball, you know, for making the tournament.
Yes. Let's go get it.
First time in a long time.
Let's go get it. Volleyball. Let's get us a natty in volleyball. Here we go.
You know, so, I mean, you know, Georgia athletics as a whole is getting really, really good. And, you know, I'm all here for it. You know, that we all know Josh we talk Brooks, about football man. Because that's exactly what we do and that's what we coach. But, you know, when you got a university where all your programs are top ranked and doing really well, you know, that just shows.
Starts at the top, man. Starts at the top with Josh Brooks.
So shout out to my boy, JB, Mr. Brooks himself.
And then, you know, he's hiring these top-notch coaches to come in and build programs, and that's what they're doing. I mean, he saw a gym with Mike White. Mike White is exactly the coach that Georgia needs. Is he a top-caliber coach? Probably not, but he is exactly what we need. He's somebody that can take advantage of what we do well, give us an identity. We finally have an identity. We finally see, like, here's the thing with Tom Crean. I was talking about this the other day with a coworker of mine. Tom Crean, when you watch Tom Crean's basketball teams, it looks like five guys at the Y who just met each other and said, "Hey, okay, we got next." And it was just like nobody would really want to pass to anybody else because, okay, if I pass this guy, I don't know what the heck he's going to do. I don't know if he's any good or not. Like, so I'm just going to take this shot. It may or may not go in. I don't even know if I can hit this shot, but I'm going to go ahead and take it because why not?
I don't know if I can hit it, but I'm going to do it. Let it ride.
Let it ride. Hey, Rain Man. Make it rain. You know, like Along. You ever seen Along Came Polly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember that scene. So with Mike Great White, hat, like, hell yeah.
That was it.
I know. It's just like, and D Wade, like, you don't coach D Wade. You just kind of like, okay, here you go, Dwayne. Like, here's the basketball. Like, go it's make like it golf. Happen.
Whenever you become the head golf coach, it's going to be like golf. Yeah. I don't have to coach you. I just go out there and say, hey, here you go.
I'm going to go visit Chris Hack if I become the head golf coach. I'm like, oh, Chris, how do you do this thing? He's going to go, man, I recoup my butt off. That's what I do. I got Kisner, Harris English, Bubba's. I just had a brain fart. I was about to say Bubba Wallace, but he's a race car driver.
Bubba Watson.
Yeah, Bubba Watson. I can't believe I forgot that. So Yeah, I mean, for Mike White, like we actually played defense. We actually rebound, and it looks like we're actually trying to score the ball by making these things called passes. Mm-hmm. We've actually discovered that, yes, it is not against the rules to pass the ball to somebody else. It's not against the rules to rebound. Like,
get the ball in the paint, man.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
We're scoring from the free throw line. We're stopping people. So,
doing all these things right.
Novel concept. Play actual basketball. And we drastically improve by just actually playing basketball. Like, our recruits aren't even like, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're playing really good basketball. But like, were they extremely heralded? Like, were they heralded guys coming out? Were you like, oh my God, we beat North Carolina for this kid? No. No. It's not a knock. It's just like, he's taking these guys that like, they're like mid power tier guys. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of like the guys Kentucky will get for football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those type of guys. They're still really good. But are they Alabama? Are they Georgia type talent? No, you might get one.
But are they that good? Like, yeah. They're good, but are they
like
good?
Like in basketball, are they North Carolina Duke good? No, probably not. But like we're competitive.
We're getting there. We
develop.
There.
That's what we need. That's like Georgia basketball. You can't try to play North Carolina and Duke's game. You have to develop. You have to do things a little bit differently. You have to probably rely mm-hmm. on the transfer portal a little bit more than the next. That's what Deion's doing out there in Colorado. You got to build it how you can and stick with your identity. Stick with who you are. Like Colorado's not getting USC guys. It's just not going to happen, even with Deion.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. It's Colorado. Nobody's going to Boulder over USC. Like he'll pull a couple because of who he is, but they're not flooding in there.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. It's Colorado. But he's gonna take those guys. He's gonna take some of those transfer portal guys that were mm-hmm. stars at Boise, stars at Weber State, stars, you know, elsewhere, stars at Jackson State. You know, have quite a following there. And he's gonna make them way better than they are. That's what he's gonna do. He's gonna take grad transfers that are looking for a home. He'll take some of those guys.
Which are gonna be really good players.
Yeah. Most of the time, now it's a little bit different, but most of the time, you're not hitting the transfer portal because you're elite. Like, rarely do elite guys. Like, A.D. Mitchell hitting the transfer portal is more rare than, you know, that's a more rare occurrence. Like, people like A.D. Mitchell don't usually hit the transfer portal. But he did.
It's called tampering, which we'll figure out who did it here in a minute.
Yeah.
If he leaves.
It was Professor Plum. It was Professor Plum in the library with the – oh, wait, wrong game. So, man, nothing on the Clue reference. You don't know anything about Clue, do you? Did you ever play Clue as a kid?
I'm a Monopoly guy, man. Monopoly guy.
Oh, I love Monopoly. But Clue's awesome, too. Yeah, it's like a murder mystery. It's like a murder mystery board game.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember it. I just never played that one.
Man, you're missing out, dude. Our kids did a fall play, and it was Clue. That was the fall play. So,
y'all look fancy.
Yeah, dude. So I got to support the performing arts, man. We got a lot of good performing arts at Hillwood. It's better than our sports teams. So, well, we're gonna leave you with that right there. When we come back to you next, we'll probably have more transfer portal news. We'll probably have more recruiting news. We're definitely gonna have that sport that has a big orange round ball and it goes into a hoop with a net. We're gonna talk about that sport. Apparently, Georgia just discovered that they have one of those teams. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. What Mike White is doing, kind of update you on that. We're going to probably not take so much time between. That's probably more my fault. It's been exhausting the last couple of weeks, but we're back. We're going to be back, and we're going to develop a plan that we're going to come at you more frequently, and whatever that looks like, however we can fit that into our schedule, whether it's, you know, we'll figure that out, and we'll let you know as we go. But for now, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling, and we're gonna keep on keeping on. So, Israel, have fun coaching baseball again.
Oh yeah.
Go lift that trophy later. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag. We hope you have a great rest of your week. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next week. We'll see you back here soon to talk Georgia sports. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.